Abhitachirimchirat Karuna Avatiranam Kalo Samarpayitam Shalarasam Swabhakti Shriyam Hare Purata Sundara Kyuti Kadamba Sandipitaha Sada Vidaya Kandare Svaratubha Sachinandanaha Utama adama kichuna bachira jachiya dileka kola kahe premananda emona goranga hridaya dariya bola bhaj goranga tha goranga laha gorangera namare bolo bhaj goranga kaha goranga laha gorangera namare je jana goranga bhaje se hoy amar pranare je jana goranga bhaje se hoy amar pranare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare.
Dambuja Bhakti Labhya Prema Vidana Parama Pumarta Tismai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madhavirapi Gopala Sri Kriyat Kripaya Jari Sadaiva sambhaya pita rishayustat priyajanaha Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Rajabala Gopahima Vanchakopa Garubhyascha Vipassindubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has given a very wonderful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Shuyatam, Shuyatam, Nityam, Giyatam, Giyatam, Muda, Chintyatam, Chintyatam, Bhaktas Chaitanya Charitamritam. That, my dear devotees, Shuyatam, Shuyatam, Nityam. Always, always you should hear Krishna Katha. Giyatam, Giyatam, Mudha. Giyatam, Giyatam, again and again. Chant, speak this Krishna Katha with a little added point. Mudha, with some happiness. Not in a boring way, not in a dull way. Chintyatam, chintyatam, bhaktas. Again and again, chintyatam. Meditate on this, my dear devotees. Or another meaning could be that this is what a devotee does. This is who a devotee is. Not just that a devotee is a big manager, but a devotee is someone who's chanting. Chaitanya charitamritam. This life force of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, as we began yesterday, we mentioned how all over the world, in hundreds of millions of temples and mosques, and churches, God is being glorified and all of His wonderful qualities are being spoken about. But nowhere in the world will you find a description like that which has been given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he describes God's faults. Everybody else glorifies God, but Rupa Goswami speaks about his faults. Indirectly, he's glorifying Krishna. So he quotes from this verse we spoke about yesterday, Vishnu Yamala, how a conditioned soul has 18 different faults, and as we mentioned, it's a great scandal. It may be very disturbing to you to hear, but Krishna has 16 of those faults. And paradoxically, some of these so-called faults are things which make him actually superior to God, or superior to Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu. So we discussed the first 8 of these yesterday, and this morning I'd like to begin with the 9th quality, the 9th fault, which is hinsa, or violence. And violence is a very great fault. Many people throughout the world, they consider that ahimsa is practically religion. To be nonviolent means to be spiritual. And we understand in the Skanda Purana, there are 6 different types of offenses that you can do to a devotee. One of them is to not be happy if you see them. The last of which is to kill a Vaishnava or to strike a Vaishnava. So violence is a very, very terrible thing. And people who commit violence upon others, their hearts become very hard. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have the story of the hunter, Magrari, and Narad Muni, and how that hunter was such a very, very cruel person because he was performing needless violence on so many different persons, so many different living entities. This is the nature of a very ignorance culture, is that people get pleasure by seeing other living entities die. And in many places in the world, they have cockfights, fights between 2 male chickens, or they have fights between dogs, or they have this bullfighting. And people get some pleasure in seeing that poor animal suffering and dying. So this is hinsa. And a saintly person like Narad Muni, he instructed Magrari, you should break your bow. Give up this unnecessary violence on other people. This violence has different forms. Srila Prabhupada also says in one place that nonviolence means preaching. In other words, if you stop preaching, then you're doing violence. That has a deep purport to it. If we contemplate on it, what it means is that we've gotten some good fortune, some wonderful good fortune. Here we are together in Mayapur, hearing some Krishna Katha, doing kirtan together. It really doesn't get any better than this. But along with that good fortune comes an obligation. We have some obligation to share that with others. This obligation is there in the secular sense also, in the Vedic culture, that if you learn something, you have to share it with others. But in this realm, in the spiritual realm, we have an absolute obligation to share what we've gotten, to share our good fortune. And if we don't share that good fortune, it's considered to be a type of violence. So this violence is a very terrible fault. And people, they often say that God is love. God is peace. Perhaps they haven't read so much about Krishna. some people will become very disturbed to find out that this quality of hingsa or violence, according to Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is also there within the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vijayananda Prabhu, Mataji, I think there may be some chairs in the other room. They're having some dance class. I don't like to see you paint. You can take a few more chairs if you need. So, this is described in many different places. In the 50th chapter, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes how Jarasandha came with millions and millions of soldiers with the intention to attack Mathura. And they were blowing their horns and raising so many challenges against the Mathura Basis, and everyone was afraid. And then they saw two young boys came out of Mathura, out of the fort, by themselves. It was Krishna and Balaram. And Balaram had a plow on his shoulder. And when Jarasandha and his army saw that, they started laughing so hard. They said, "Look, he's a farmer. He's a farm boy. Isn't that cute?" The Bhagavatam gives some description of what happened after that. In the same way that the wind covers the sun with clouds sometimes, or fire is covered with dust, Jarasandha's huge army surrounded Krishna and Balaram with their soldiers. And they laughed at Balaram. It was the last thing they did. The Bhagavatam describes that Krishna began to shoot arrows at them that looked like a lakta chakram, which means a blazing circle of fire. Just like if you take a torch and you twirl the torch around at night, then it makes a circle of fire. And Krishna was beginning to shoot arrows so fast in all different directions at this army which was surrounding him that it looked like this Alata Chakra. The 24th verse in this section describes Nirbina Kumbha Karino Nipetu Aneka Sosha Sada Brikshakandara Ratahatasva Dvajasuta Nayaka Padayatashchina Bujoru Kandaraha. At that time, great elephants began to fall to the ground, their foreheads split open with the arrows of Krishna. The cavalry horses fell with severed necks. The chariots fell with their horses, flags, drivers, and masters all shattered. The foot soldiers fell down with severed arms, thighs, and shoulders. The 27th verse, 25th and 20 to the 26th, 27th verses describe Sanchidyamana dvipadeva vajinam anga prasuta satiso rigabhaga bujahaya purusha sirsa kachapa hata dvipa dvipa haya grahakula karorumina narakesha saivala danustarangayuda gulma sankula achuri karvata bayanaka maha mani praveka baranasma sarkarha pravartita biru bayavahamride manasrinam harsha kadi parasparam. This is the God of love. And what he did at that time. On that battlefield, there were hundreds of rivers of blood that flowed from the limbs of the humans. There were great elephants and horses who had been cut to pieces. And in the rivers of blood, the arms of the soldiers that had been cut off by the arrows of Krishna resembled snakes. The thousands and millions of heads that had been cut off by the arrows of God resembled turtles. The dead elephants resembled islands. And the dead horses resembled crocodiles in those rivers. The hands and thighs which had been cut off appeared to be like fish in those rivers of blood. The human hair looked like water weeds. The bows of the warriors looked like waves in that river of blood. And various weapons looked like clumps of bushes. The rivers of blood teemed with all of these things. The chariot wheels looked like terrifying whirlpools, and the precious gems and ornaments from the soldiers resembled stones and gravel in the rushing red rivers, which aroused fear in the timid and joy in the wise. So I don't think that anyone today would offer Krishna a Nobel Peace Prize. So we can see this quality of hingsa or violence is there in Krishna. But Jiva Goswami, he describes elsewhere, and our acharyas describe, that although it appears that Krishna has some partiality and that Krishna is doing some violence needlessly, in actuality, it's great love. We can't recognize. Our acharyas have described in purports in the first canto of the Bhagavatam that when Bhishma Dev was shooting his arrows at Krishna, that Krishna was accepting them like flowers. And Bhishma was shooting those things with great love. It was his particular rasa. So also the Lord reciprocates with all these people, all of these soldiers on the battlefield. We understand that great yogis and mystics, they meditate, they perform great austerities for thousands of years or millions of lifetimes even, to try to get mukti, to try to get liberation. But Krishna very easily gave liberation to all of those different soldiers on that battlefield. So Krishna has this quality of hingsa, violence. But in actuality, it's not really violence. It's actually really love. Those people who say that God is love are correct. They just don't understand how it exactly works. And sometimes they have a serious problem with the Bhagavad Gita. The devotees, they're not sentimental. They don't think that non-violence is spiritual life. Once, famous story is there, you may know, some devotees in London, they came to Srila Prabhupada and they said, "Prabhupada, the London Vegetarian Society wants you to come and speak." And Prabhupada asked them, "Do they want to hear about Krishna?" And they said, "No, Srila Prabhupada, I think they want to hear about vegetarianism." And Prabhupada said, "We don't care about vegetarianism." Actually, this is a very shocking fact, but Garuda, amongst others, is a non-vegetarian Vaishnava. They probably wouldn't let him do artik in the temple, but he's there in the temple. It's a little paradoxical. And he's the Lord's carrier. So we don't care about vegetarianism. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter, he said that we're not interested in all these animal rights movements. It's not that we are more favorable toward the vegetarians than we are toward the butchers. But in Krishna consciousness, we have something for everyone. And even the butchers and the prostitutes and the drug addicts and the drug dealers also have a place in this movement. Because bhakti is the nature, is the right of every spirit soul. It's not that some external material quality is required, that you can only have bhakti if you're a male. Sorry, ladies. Ladies can't have bhakti, or children can't have bhakti, or animals or dogs can't have bhakti, or you can only have bhakti if you're a vegetarian, or if you're a brahmachari, or if you're a sannyasi, or if you live in the temple. But if you say these things, it means that bhakti is not independent. Bhakti is swarat. Bhakti is independent, and bhaktya, sanjayata bhaktya, it's said in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, bhakti comes from bhakti. Bhakti doesn't depend on anything else. And in our movement, we give respect to Vanashram Dharma, we respect sannyasis, and we respect vanaprasthas and brahmacharis and like that. But the thing we respect the most, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is bhakti maryada, the quality of bhakti. wherever that thing may be found. And if we don't respect bhakti, if we don't understand that by the process of bhakti, someone can overcome whatever faults they may have by their birth, by their nationality, or whatever, they can't overcome that, then it means we don't have faith in bhakti. And we're doing some aparat. So this hingsa or violence, people think it's a great fault in the material world. But this fault is found with Krishna also. And it's not a fault when he exhibits it. The tenth fault is kheda. Kheda means to become, to lament, to become full of distress, to become full of sorrow. It's an interesting thing. In Bhagavad Gita, does anyone know how many times Krishna tells Arjuna, don't lament? 6 times. Krishna tells him again and again, Nanuso chanti panditaha. He says, pundits, learned people, they don't lament. He says, and that was in text 11, text 25. He says, Nanusochitam arhasi. Same thing. Don't lament. Text 26. Natvam sochitam arhasi. Don't lament. Text 28. Tatchakar paridevana. So what's the need for lamentation, Arjuna? Text 30. Natvam sochitam arhasi. He says again, don't lament, Arjuna. Don't lament. This lamentation has a very bad quality. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami is described, Sokadya Vasavartita Yata Tatraiva, that someone should not be controlled by lamentation or other emotions. And Rupa Goswami quotes the Padma Purana, Shokamarshadi Birbhavair Akantam Yashamanasam Katam Tatra Mukundasya Spurti Sambha.